All right, well, Dave, please receive this blessing, and then we'll get started with our morning.
We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you with joy.
Thank you all. Can everybody hear me okay? Well, we're going to continue with looking at our book, Sweeter Than Revenge. I thought just before we start, I'd like to share the origin of the book. It happened at a very, very specific moment. Behind me is my dining room table with a TV. I was watching the news while I was eating lunch. And that screen there was filled with the face of Netanyahu. And he said, because Hamas had just attacked Israel, I intend to retaliate like the world has never seen. And when I heard that, I felt a calling to say that there are alternatives, which we find in all religions and in Buddhism. And I decided to write a book which came to be called Sweeter Than Revenge. So that's the origin. You can thank him for the book. And this topic is under the overall heading of nonviolence, which is also part of what I want to live by. And in today's verse, the first chapter you read for today, the three chapter three, on page 40, we have a chart that shows the difference between anger and basically violence. And so that's the topic I'd like to open up with. But before I do, I just want to check with you. Any questions that you have, either from last week or from what you read? And when you do read the chapters, because next time we'll be reading 6, 7, and 8, mark down any questions that come up as you're reading, as I would like to address them. I can't cover everything in the book. I just take one or two topics each time. Any questions left over from before or from what you read? Okay. Well, usually when someone hurts us in some way, hurts our feelings, causes distress. The dictionary definition of response to distress when it comes to the topic of anger is distress about perceived injustice. You think that what happened was unfair. And that's what activates your anger. It's a perfectly legitimate feeling since we live in a world in which things are not always fair. The happenings in our lives don't always come across as just. So we will have anger. Not only about what happens in our own life, but also what we see happening on the news or in other people's lives. So we should have a way of getting it that there's a difference between healthy anger and aggressive abuse. So that led me a number of years ago to put together a chart that shows the difference, which I have upgraded over the years, and you have the latest version in your book. So I'm going to share the screen. Let's see here. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Okay. What we'll do is we'll have two people read and just follow down the list, and then I'll come back and look at some specifics and we can have a discussion. So, Michael Dean, would you read the healthy anger side?
Healthy anger.
Okay. Yeah, the healthy anger side. And Barbara Valentine, would you read the abuse side? So just go back and forth.
Okay.
So when you hear what Michael says, that's the healthy version. When you hear Barbara, that's showing you the shadow side, the part that's not so healthy. And remember, many of us have never had actual anger addressed toward us, just abuse. So if you had the kind of a childhood in which they were screaming at you, punishing you up one side and down the other, hitting you, and so forth, you d never really, you thought they were angry, but actually they were being abusive. Their anger had gone over the edge. Likewise, in relationships, it could be that a partner was not coming across in the healthy way, but was coming across in the unhealthy way. So we're going to try to learn the difference. And this is obviously the retaliatory style will be in this column. True anger has not a bit of retaliation in it. Okay, so go ahead, Michael and Barbara.
Expresses a feeling in an authentic way.
Versus becomes a tantrum in a theatrical way.
Communicates, reports an impact.
Versus puts down, bullies, or dumps on the other.
Asks for a change in how we relate.
Versus demands change or else threatens retribution.
Respects the other's boundaries.
Versus attempts to coerce the other.
Is an I-thou relationship subject to subject?
Versus feels like an I-it relationship subject to object.
Takes responsibility for the feeling.
Versus blames and shames the other person.
Is based on an intelligent assessment.
Versus is based on judgment and making the other wrong.
Sees the other as a catalyst for our feeling.
Versus seeing the other as the cause of our reaction.
Is about an action or word that felt unfair.
Versus is about indignation or a bruised ego.
Focuses on the here and now.
Versus is contaminated by similar past events.
Is brief and let go of with a sense of closure, like a flare.
Versus is held on to as lingering resentment, obsession, or a grudge, like a smoldering fire.
May be expressed with a red face, excited gestures, and a raised voice.
Versus may be expressed with a red face, menacing gestures, and a screaming voice.
Says, ouch, assertively and respectfully while seeking a dialogue.
versus being aggressive and adversarial, an attack based on ill will and perhaps with an intent to harm,
informs the other.
versus intimidates, threatens the other, a projection, the scared scare.
Is nonviolent, in control, and always shown within safe limits, manages temper.
Versus is violent, out of control, hostile, and punitive, loses temper.
Maintains goodwill at all times.
Versus maintaining a mean or hateful ill will toward the other.
Asks for accountability and amends to clear things up so forgiveness can happen.
Versus seeks revenge, keeps holding something against the other. Perhaps refusing repair of the relationship.
Seeks mutual transformation.
Versus wants to justify oneself as in the right.
Shows respect for the other as a peer.
Versus shows respect, shows contempt toward the other as a target.
Aims at a deeper and more effective bond. An angry person moves toward the other.
Versus wants to vent the rage no matter who gets hurt. An abuser moves against the other.
Does not let the adrenaline reaction to a trigger obscure right thinking.
Versus is so possessed by the adrenaline rush that intelligent assessment powers are shut down and an inappropriate reaction can result.
Acknowledges the element of grief.
Versus feels grief but masks or denies it.
Coexists with love, maintains connection.
Versus cancels connection.
Is fearless.
Versus is fear-based.
Is a form of addressing, processing, and resolving an issue with spiritual consciousness.
Versus is a form of avoiding one's own grief and distress about an issue with a refusal to work things out and thereby to grow spiritually.
I don't want to thank you guys. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you're willing, Michael, would you tell what it felt like to read what you were reading?
It felt positive and it felt peaceful.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Barbara.
It felt mean-spirited and like me, I'll personify this, all felt like I was holding on to resentment that would be, just be toxic for myself as well as the relationship.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured, and thank you. And of course, this line in the middle makes it look like it's one or the other, but remember that actually there's a space rather than a line, and there's a whole spectrum between anger and abuse. And so sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Especially since it looks kind of the same. Somebody's coming at you with a red face. The blood has come to the surface because you've been activated by what you consider an unjust deal that's been handed to you. And of course, you're using gestures, you're excited. And you're raising your voice, but when the excited gestures turn into menacing gestures, then you're getting intimidated, especially when the raised voice becomes the screaming voice, which may have happened with your parents or in a relationship. And so it's normal to feel intimidated on this side. In fact, the person up here wants to intimidate you. Or another way of saying it is the way to tell whether someone's showing real anger is very simple. If you're drawn, focused in with full attention, it's probably true anger. If you feel intimidated, scared by what the other person is coming at you with, it may be abuse. Or you could be so phobic about any form of anger that it's hard to tell the difference. Most of us have the problem of expressing anger at all because we're afraid if we express anger, we might mess up the relationship. That's why in a healthy relationship, there has to be full permission for all feelings. When I was doing therapy with couples who were planning to either get married or to live together, I always brought this up. I said, tell each other here in the room with me that you're giving full permission for anger, sadness, fear, joy, any possible human feeling. Is it okay in this relationship that you show each other the full gamut of your feelings? A relationship can't be healthy if you're not allowed to do that. If you were brought up in a household where you couldn't be angry because they'd slap you down, then you never learned how to be angry in a healthy way. If you were in a household where you couldn't show your tears, stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about, then it's going to be hard for you to show your grief later in life. If you weren't allowed to show fear, if they made fun of you for being afraid, if they said there's nothing to be afraid of, it's going to be hard to acknowledge your fears. If they said what my mother said, you've had enough fun for today. Or if I was exuberant, now be careful, David, you might hurt yourself. If you got that kind of message, it might be hard to be totally uninhibited about that feeling. All right, so some questions from all this. Ideas?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
Sometimes the anger, I'm not thinking about mine, I'm thinking about when if somebody's been abusive or angry, it's not overt. It's kind of quietly like passive aggressive. And that it is abusive and but it's not obviously so, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's under wraps, kind of.
Yeah, it's very cruel. Yeah.
Yes, that can happen. And I guess you'd have to ask the person straight out, can you tell me your actual feeling?
Yeah.
Which might be scary to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All of this has fear in it. When we weren't brought up with complete permission to show healthy anger and no other anger coming at us except healthy. Okay, Jenny. Hi, Jenny Walker.
My screen shifted and my mute button was gone.
Oh, okay.
I just want to thank you so much for this. What a useful chart. And can I put it up on my bathroom mirror?
You can share it with anyone. Yeah,
Thank you.
you know, this This shows us that anger is the kind of a feeling that requires a practice, work. You'd have to be willing to do all this. You'd have to be willing to show your grief rather than hide it.
Well, and I guess my next, well, two other comments. I mean, one is I love this idea that it's a it's fluid. It can, it's not a hard line. It's not this or that. Sometimes things can have can begin, especially in a conscious relationship, you can begin trying to do the healthy anger expression and then out of patterns, out of unobserved shadow, out of your stuff you learned as a kid, you can flow into the other. And then, so I hope also that, and I guess maybe the help, what I was going to, my question was, how do you respond when you feel someone is moving into the more abusive side? But I guess the answer is, you just keep acting from this healthy anger
Yes, but I am going to go
yourself.
on to that. I'm going to
Okay.
go on to that question next.
Yeah.
So I will address that.
Thank you. Thank you for this.
Yeah, we want to know how do you respond to either side?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Easy, it's very easy to how to, just very, very simple how to respond to this side. Leave the premises.
Ah.
You're upset now, and I feel scared. It's not safe for me here. So I'm taking off. When you're calmed down, then we will talk. That's what you sound like when you're taking care of yourself. Not nose to nose. Not do the same back to the other. That's retaliation. But I'm going to go on to that topic. So, other questions so far about this part? It's important to see that the feelings are practices. They take practice. It takes practice to learn how to be nonviolent, to stay in control, to manage your temper. You sound the way I sound now when you're coming from the healthy side. By the way, I'll come to you, Ingrid. I just wanted to say something that's kind of humorous. One doesn't think of Hollywood as the source of spiritual high consciousness. But I happen to notice, and I'm sure you will agree with me, that the hero in a film always does this. Even if he kills someone, it will be to enact justice. It will not be hateful. Whereas the villain in the film will look like this. A Gregory Peck will never be on this side. Neither will a Harrison Ford. They won't be on this side. This is where the bad guys are. Ever notice that? I find it very fascinating. Hollywood wants to maintain the image of the hero. So the hero will never do this stuff. Okay, Ingrid, you had a question. Go ahead.
Again, thank you for all this, Dave. There's something, I don't know if it's in the middle of this chart or where it belongs, but the actions of a repressed anger. This is black and white, but in somewhere in there is the anger that's expressed in a way that's very subtle, but or anger that's felt but not expressed. Can you talk about that, please?
And that's kind of what Pip brought up also, that some people just can't show you the anger, but they do have it. Or we ourselves have trouble showing the anger, but we know it's in there because we're seething and we're kind of boiling within. And it will take an actual affirmation that from now on, I don't want to hold back my anger, or I want to express it, but always in a healthy, loving way. And when other people seem to be holding back, I would like to say something like, it's safe here to tell me about your anger.
I
That's what
think
you would sound like.
part of what I was talking about was, I'll just talk personally. We weren't allowed to show anger in my childhood, and for years, for decades, I didn't even know I was angry.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It wasn't safe to do that.
Yes, I'm sure it came out
After
of
all those, after all those years of repressing, it's understandable that you would go on doing that and think that that's what safety means. So this would be like expanding your whole sense of where is safety in my way of relating. If I'm overly intent on staying safe, I will won't be able to express my legitimate feelings. And do I want to live that way anymore? So you'd have to practice in little ways. Remember, it's distress about, I got this out of the dictionary. Distress about a perceived injustice. So even if you were able to not, you don't have to use the word anger. You could say something like, you know, it bothers me when you do that. That's a healthy way of starting off the practice of getting unrepressed. Does this make sense, Sigrid?
Yes.
Would you want to do something like this?
Oh, sure.
All right. Okay, Jenny.
Sorry to double dip, but
No, no, it's okay.
I'm recognizing that, let's see. So, when we're working on ourselves and we're working on our ego stuff and entitlement and all the ideas we have about, it changes what our understanding of what an injustice is. Some of it arises as a pattern, but then if we're really conscious and working internally, we might have the feeling, but recognize, well, I'm just being entitled, or, so there's some sort of place in there between what is repression and what is working on inner transformation so that the anger is not even that. I
The
don't know if the word.
repression will feel like a form of stress, and the transformation will feel like all's right with the world.
A kind of inner freedom.
Yeah, and we're not used to checking in with ourselves in that way. We're used to enduring pain,
Right.
like the pain of repressing our actual feelings. But the stronger you get, the less would you want to be around people who don't allow you to express your feelings fully.
Thank you.
And the stronger you would get in expressing your feelings. All right, now let's go to a couple of the questions that already came up. Joe, would you read this paragraph?
When
Can you
someone
see it okay,
shows,
Joe?
when someone shows authentic anger, we feel safe, so we stay put. We listen attentively and respond without defensiveness. You are angry now, and I will hear you out. But when someone is abusive, our healthy response is to leave the premises, since it is unsafe to stay put. When someone has crossed the line and is coming at us aggressively, we say, I will leave now and come back when you calm down, so that we can have a useful conversation.
Yeah. Just what I said before. So when it comes from this side, you feel safe, and so you stay attentive. You'll notice that you automatically focus face to face and eye to eye with the one who's telling you about his, her, their anger. And you'll notice that you do not become defensive. It'll just happen automatically. This part's not a practice. This happens on its own. I've even noticed this happening watching a movie. If the actor is coming across on this side, I notice that I'm listening very carefully and I'm looking directly into his or her face. When someone is being like this, I feel uncomfortable, a little scared, and I can tell I'm pushing my head back. I'm not looking more closely at the screen. That's what I mean by it'll just happen automatically. Is it okay with you to be like this? Does anybody have a problem with this? Do you think you should put your dukes up and go chin to chin? Tell me. Okay, Jenny?
Guess I'm quite the talker today. Okay. Well, what I recognize is out of love, I may want to, as I grow in strength, I guess, I may push my ability to stand, to stay, even if someone is maybe not expressing in the healthiest way. I don't always want to just leave because somebody, you know, I feel like there's something about being with, staying connected through, even when it's not a perfect expression. So there's a line there. Obviously, there's a point where one should leave, but you know, I'm not experiencing that. But there is, you know, and the same is true for me when I'm not expressing perfectly. You know, I think in a relationship where you're really both working on being conscious, there's something about sticking with even when it's not a perfect expression. So I'm curious about your perspective on that.
Okay, yes, I can go with that. Yeah, just as long as it's safe to be there.
Right, physically, sure. Yeah.
Especially with family members, like our adult children. They certainly activate things on this chart. As I'm sure we do with them. Other ideas? We keep hearing from the same people. Anybody else want to say something here? Judith?
Well, this all brings up something for me. In adult children, I had a comment or a feedback from one of my adult children that when things get hot, I leave. And it was pointed out to me that that's what I'm doing. And it's not that I'm being abused. It's just that it feels uncomfortable. So I leave, get out, get out. And I don't know whether I got that from my mother, but that has been my modus operandi, is to not want to be uncomfortable, just want to leave when things get hot. So that
okay.
part of it is my bad, that I haven't got, I've got a temperature thermometer that's too low. When it gets hot, I want to get out.
Okay. So where I would go with that is, when you feel discomfort, which might be the same as feeling fear, but not renaming it that way.
Right.
When you simply leave, you don't get a chance to mine, M-I-N-E, the riches that are in your feeling. So the better approach is to learn about yourself by staying put, rather than being conflict avoidant, and finding out what you're actually feeling and sharing that. You know, when you guys bring up your conflicts, I myself get very nervous and I want to leave. For instance, I want to leave right now, but I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to let you know what I'm feeling in my body without judging you. And I think when you do that, maybe as often as possible, you will notice that you feel a lot better about the relationship. Does this make sense to everybody? Diana?
Yes. When I have read this list many times, and I realize that over the years, most of the people I interact with are in the healthy anger side. After a while, you sort out the kind of people you want to be with. And I guess at this time in my life, I can choose. It would be different if I were in an office where I had to deal with everybody and I couldn't choose who I wanted to be with. So I understand what Judith is saying with adult children. And it is sort of that feeling of how do I get myself to stay without judgment? But then how do I take care of myself if I don't feel like I'm in a safe place? I have both of those things that are working on me.
That's a very good way to put it, Ian. And sometimes we don't have a single answer for that kind of conflict. But gradually we could trust ourselves when we know we're trying to do the right thing. And when we have finally given ourselves full permission for all to show all of the feelings. Can you imagine dying and not yet having ever shown your actual feelings to anyone? It makes it not very worthwhile to die.
It makes it not worthwhile to live.
Good. There has to be at least one person in your life with whom you can let it all hang out.
That's true.
And you can be that person to others.
Animals
all right,
are
any
helpful.
Other questions? Barbara?
Yeah, I just really resonate with you saying to say to the person that's pissing you off, to use the word, it bothers me. And
yeah,
I just feel like that's so much softer.
Yes.
And less, would put someone less on the defensive versus saying, I'm even saying I'm really angry. That's going to possibly just trigger the person to be in defense mode to begin with. Or especially saying, you're really pissing me off, putting it on them. But to say, I'm bothered, or it bothers me, that sounds much more like a softer opening door to be able to express what's behind that.
Yeah. And it's perfectly okay to say that. You don't have to say, I'm angry. I'm kind of bothered by, this that happened between us. I want to talk about it. Judith?
There's another scenario that it's not in my life currently because my children are grown up. But when they were arguing, that was a time for me to leave. I just said, you work it out, and I'm out of here. Was that the right thing to do?
Well, how did it feel to you? Did it seem like that worked? Or, I
Well,
mean, you'd have to ask them.
it was much more peaceful for me because I didn't have to hear it. I just
Well, I asked them, in childhood when you guys used to argue and I would go to my room and shut the door, how did that feel? I would start there. They'll tell you.
Okay,
That's
I
one
will.
thing our adult kids have no problem with. They're able to tell us all about all the things we did wrong, especially during Thanksgiving dinner. But we love them no matter what. All right, well, we're going to take our break. Just have, okay, quick comment, Sue.
Yeah, Dave, there's one more thing about the break. We had some feedback that people would like a longer break, that they got into conversation and were taken away from
Oh, okay. Well, it's up to you. How did we have it as 20 minutes last time?
it. We did. We had 20 last time, yeah.
It's just a
Okay.
comment that we had a feedback that they get
Okay.
people get
Well, it's
into
okay to
conversation.
have it as 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's
Is
fine.
that okay with everyone?
Yeah, that'll leave us
Okay.
15 at the end.
How many in each group? 10.
Usually, no less than 3, no more than 5.
Okay, because if there are about 4 in each group, 25 minutes would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, Sue, you had a comment? You're on mute.
Have to unmute. I kept going back to on the healthy side of anger, ask for accountability. What does that look like?
Ask for, can you tell me? Do you see any way that you're part of what I'm feeling?
Okay. Thank you.
As opposed, that's the opposite of it's all your fault. Okay, let's have one last comment by Michael. Go ahead, or a question.
Yeah, so much of what you've said and other people have commented I just keep thinking to myself of the classic advice in any situation where it's tense or difficult is only to use I statements. It's hard to go wrong if you start with I. It's easy to go wrong if you start with you.
Very helpful. Thank you, Michael. All right, so our question, of course, is how comfortable am I with my own anger and that of others? How comfortable am I with my own anger and that of others toward me?
Great.
And I'll be here when you get back.
All right, friends, we've got about 25 minutes to have some dialogue, and then we'll come back with for some final conversation with Dave. Here we go.
Other
All
guys
right. Well, I
are
wanted to check in. Anybody have something you'd like to bring up that came up in the group? Or, hi, Catherine, go ahead.
In our group, we talked about the zeitgeist of the times that we're living in now. And someone in our group said how that one on the right column, the aggressive column, is sort of check. We, that is more. And feeling like that revenge, those are kind of our nervous systems or our. We're more primed because we're living in a larger aggressive feeling energy. And so, Dave, what do you say to that? I mean, what advice do you have for how to handle just being in that environment on a continual basis where we may be more reactive because we have this surrounding circumstances that we are enduring of a regime or whatever, however people see it, but just more aggressive energy all around.
And thank you for bringing that up. First of all, we don't want to see it as us against them. Those are the bad guys, and we know the right way to do it. We want to, since we live in a world that is more aggressive than nonviolent, at least in the way it's looks on TV, or what from what we hear in the news, or even from the people we meet up with. As part of our calling to see everything with either the mind and heart of Christ, or the mind and heart of Buddha, or the mind and heart of a universe of safety, if you don't have any sense of a higher power. We want to hold everything with compassion and at the same time keep staying with our own practice. We're always showing the difference. I remember suddenly I'm remembering a scene from a movie a long time ago, The Nun's Story, and Audrey Hepburn was playing the part of a missionary nun in what was then called the Belgian Congo. And in one scene, something terrible has happened to their hospital. Somebody's been violent toward them. And one of the natives says to Audrey Hepburn, "We need to get back at them, sister, for what they did." And Audrey Hepburn says, "No, we were taught to forgive." So she doesn't blame him. She doesn't come at him aggressively. She just says, "I hear what you're saying, and we have a different way." So it's always holding with compassion, while at the same time fulfilling our own practice. Okay, somebody else? Jenny, hi.
Hi. I don't know if anybody else watched The Count of Monte Cristo on PBS the last couple of weeks.
Full of retaliation
Was so bad.
from beginning to end.
Yeah.
At the very
Well,
end.
that's part of the entertainment.
Yeah.
At the very end, after behaving horribly, the count says, "If you're planning revenge, dig your own grave first." And I think that's a lot like Plato's whatever that was in the book.
Well. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, that's a common phrase. Dig two graves. But that doesn't stop you from doing it. The only way to stop yourself from retaliating is to catch yourself before you are triggered into it. To say, wait a minute, what's my alternative here? And our alternative we talked about last time, we feel the grief, we say ouch to the other person, we try to open a dialogue to work things out. And of course, there's also a spiritual approach which we'll be coming to in the next couple of sessions. So far, I've just given the psychological side of it all. Other ideas? Alice? You're on mute, Alice.
You actually gave a good response in yourself when you talked about your motivation for writing this book. You're watching this the Netanyahu give this talk, and whatever stirring up within you, which I'm sure anger was part of that. And so your way of responding was to use your gifts to write about it and try to affect the way people think, you know. So sometimes, for me, even lots of times, I write a lot of letters to the editor. That's my way of expressing myself. I mean, we're not all writers, but sometimes, you know, something will come and you feel like you can make a response and it might make a difference. And so that's, you know, so thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. You know, it wasn't just the thought to write a book. It became a calling. And so I've been going around to various churches and groups giving talks on this topic. And I want to continue to do so. And I don't ever look for money. It's just, I feel like the Holy Spirit is giving me the grace to be able to talk about this topic in such a way that it opens up in people so that they can look at what's going on with them. It's not about scolding or demanding. I just put it as, okay, here are the alternatives. You can retaliate, or you can just not retaliate, or you can find a way to do good and love the one who hates you. We haven't come to the third one yet in our class, but we will. I'm holding it off. It might be a bit overwhelming. Ingrid?
I was just wondering what response you're having when you do those.
Oh, they, getting great responses. They really do listen. They really like the whole idea of, you know, the topic. Because I talk about forgiveness. What is forgiveness really? We're going to talk about that next week in our class here. What's the difference between becoming a doormat and still speaking up? In order not to retaliate, you also have to be assertive. You can't let people walk all over you. You have to be able to speak up. So you have to learn that skill too. And I noticed that when I was writing this. First, I thought, oh, my topic is revenge. So of course, I started doing research on this topic, revenge. But soon I found out, no, you can't just talk about revenge ever. You'd have to talk about how to express your grief, since that's the cause of revenge. You'd have to talk about how to become vulnerable without, in the positive way, open to what others want to share with you, but not letting them abuse you. You'd have to learn to be assertive, so that you could speak up and say, ouch. You'd have to learn to be self-caring and have self-compassion. And finally, you have to learn the skills of nonviolent communication, such as was taught to us by Marshall Rosenberg. So all of those topics are in your book, and they make it possible to make the change from revenge to from payback to love back. I was very surprised to find out how big the topic was. I thought it was just going to be a 50-page book instead of 150. See what I mean?
Can I say something, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a quick thing. What struck me when this book came out was the timing of what's happening in the world. You know, I mean, it is particularly strong, especially in America right now. And I just, on the larger picture, thought the timing was immaculate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And still is appropriate. I imagine it'll always be appropriate, unfortunately. Alice?
In our small group, the conversations were really about personal relationships, family, close friends. And I was very inspired by the way that everyone in this conversation and in this group was making extreme efforts to understand themselves and their own way that they're responding and trying to learn and make better adult responses that help the situation. I was really just inspired, and I think it's good to see this, to know that there are so many people out there working towards, you know, better responses to the issues in the world. And it really starts at home. If you can figure that out in your closest relationships, then you'll probably know how to respond to the larger ones.
But you are reminding me to say one more thing. It wasn't just Netanyahu, the origin of this. It was that I started to notice when I was doing couples counseling that couples retaliated, the partners retaliate against each other. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the same thing in my relationships. And that's when I first said to myself, well, how could you love someone if you're still retaliating? So that's the other half of my motivation for writing the book. This is really not just about revenge and politics. It's about revenge in our personal life, which takes the form of you know, anything from, I don't know, doing little things to make somebody else, to upset the other person, or using the silent treatment. These are all forms of retaliation within relationships and within families. So there too, the calling is to examine what St. Ignatius called the examination of conscience, to look into yourself and say, am I still doing this? And do I want to keep doing it? And if you do want to keep doing it, I recommend telling everybody in your family that that's what you're up to. I went to Dave's class and he suggested an alternative to retaliation. And I want all you guys to know, I am not following what he said. I intend to go right on retaliating. So watch out. Be honest enough to say that. All right. So we're at 5 minutes to the class, and that's our compromise with the extra 5 minutes. How does that sound? So we'll end at 11:35. That covers wonderful. All our bases. Are Thanks. You guys getting something out of this topic? Okay, I hope so.
Thanks, Dave, for being so flexible with the time.
Yeah, no and problem.
I did want to mention something new that Dennis has come up with as far as listening to the AV, listening to the broadcast afterwards. There is a link and then there's a code, and the code is only for us. Only for people who are currently registered. And the code is 9944, like 99.44% pure, remember, whatever that was.
I agree.
So, right. So that will be coming out Dennis usually gets it up by Sunday, and I'll send it out, and the code would be 9944, only for us. And then after this series is over, you won't have to use a code anymore. It'll be open to everybody, but that will be only for right now. For the people that are registered now, you need to use a code to listen again. All right. Thank you, Dave. Tim, do you have anything else to say at the end? No, you're
Nope,
good.
we're good to go.
All right. Let's unmute and let's thank Dave. All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you
Dave.
so much. We'll see you all
Thanks,
next
Jeannie.
Thursday.
Thank
Very
you.
So useful.
Thank
So
you.
Hi, Jeannie.
helpful. So much.
Bye
Thank
bye.
you very much.
Hi, everybody.
Take care,
Bye.
y'all.
Thank you all.